The Phoenix Mars Lander beats the odds. Kalita Air now has a three-piece 747. And Mikel Fournier may attempt his supersonic free fall today. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, May 27th, 2008. 296 days after its launch aboard a Delta II, the Phoenix Mars lander made a soft touchdown on the Martian surface at 4:53 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday. Phoenix becomes only the sixth successful Mars landing among 12 attempts by Earth spacecraft. NASA's team at the Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena waited tensely for word on each stage of that operation, knowing the radio signals they were receiving on Earth were 15 minutes old, due to the distance between the Earth and Mars. Unlike the last three successful landings on Mars that used airbags to cushion the impact on the surface, Phoenix used descent thrusters to land on three legs, similar to NASA's 1976 Viking landers. The first pictures from the spacecraft late Sunday indicated successful deployment of the solar panel array, which will power Phoenix. Today, the team at JPL may attempt to test deployment of the spacecraft's 7-foot 8-inch robotic arm, which will be used to penetrate the Martian surface looking for ice, water, and the chemicals required for the existence of life. A Boeing 747-200 cargo jet skidded off the end of a runway and into a field in Brussels, Belgium Sunday afternoon in an aborted takeoff attempt. The aircraft is owned by U.S.-based cargo carrier Kalita Air and came to rest after breaking apart at the end of runway 20 at the Brussels airport about 1:30 p.m. local time. The aircraft was departing for Bahrain with over 77 tons of cargo, over half of which was diplomatic mail. Four of the five crew members aboard were slightly injured and required hospitalization. Photos from the scene show the fuselage broken at the wing leading edge and at the tail. According to the Canadian press, the aircraft was full of fuel, and a small fuel spill was contained, but no fire reported, although fire crews did spray retardant foam on the wings as a precaution. Rail services near the scene were suspended as a safety precaution, but the crash did not affect other flights at the airport. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board has sent an investigative team to the accident site. A 64-year-old former French paratrooper who has spent the last two decades chasing his dream of a free fall from space had to scrub his latest attempt yesterday, but he may try again today. Mikel Fournier hopes to spend hours inhaling pure oxygen to dispel any traces of nitrogen from his blood, ascend for nearly 2.5 hours in a pressurized capsule suspended from a helium balloon, then perform a supersonic free fall from over 132,000 feet up. A $70,000 custom carbon fiber suit and helmet will protect him from the temperatures that will start at minus 148 degrees Fahrenheit when he leaves the balloon, and the intense heat and supersonic shockwave caused by re-entry. If Fournier succeeds, he'll break records for not only the highest altitude free fall, longest free fall, and fastest free fall, but also the highest altitude balloon flight as well. He's trained rigorously and financed his dream by selling antique furniture, his gun collection, and even his home. Check back with us on our website if you hear a sonic boom overhead. U.S. Senator Bill Nelson of Florida is pressuring the Federal Trade Commission to investigate the February 3rd closing of Silver State Helicopters, which left as many as 2,500 students with incomplete training for which they'd paid in advance. Nelson told First Coast News, quote, "What Silver State was doing was taking the $70,000 up front, and then it was using it immediately. They were going out and recruiting more students at $70,000 per student, and paying expenses as they went along with what they were collecting from the students," unquote. Because Silver State Helicopters was unaccredited by any educational body, the financing options given to students were in the form of private bank loans and not interest-regulated federal educational loan programs. As a result, students paid exorbitant interest rates they say were not disclosed when they signed up. A group of students has filed a class-action lawsuit against KeyBank for its alleged role as a willing partner in what the plaintiffs call a Ponzi scheme. Nelson said last week he's considering asking the U.S. Justice Department to investigate the withholding of information when students signed loans and the Ponzi scheme allegations. Up next on ANN, Mesa Air Group may join the bankruptcy parade. an Alaskan airport scraps plans for a new runway, and Newark controllers warn that new departure procedures are leading to errors. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wasp GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the suit, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from May 27, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Mesa Air Group has warned that a loss of its contract with Delta could result in bankruptcy. The Associated Press reports that the dispute will have a court hearing starting this week. Delta said in March it wanted to cancel due to Mesa's unacceptable on-time record. Mesa countered that the late flights resulted from requests from Delta to change flight times to accommodate Delta's mainline flights, and added that the contract requires 12 months' notice to cancel. In a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission on Thursday, Mesa says the loss of $20 million in monthly revenue from Delta will require Mesa to restructure under Chapter 11 in order to continue. In addition to its flights for Delta Connection and its own branded service, Mesa also operates flights for U.S. Airways Express and United Express. The carrier's controversial GO Airline subsidiary began inter-island operations in Hawaii last year, but has been pricing flights below cost to gain market share. On May 15th, Mesa announced it would shut down its Air Midwest subsidiary by the end of June. The small airline served essential air service routes to 16 cities and said it was losing money on the routes despite government subsidies. Shares in Mesa have plummeted more than 75% since January. In the last full day of trading on Friday, the stock closed at 46 cents. If the company doesn't rebound to at least a dollar within the next few days, the company risks losing its listing on NASDAQ. There will be no new runway at Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport, at least not for a long time. Officials announced late Thursday the project has been postponed indefinitely, due in part to public outcry. The Anchorage Daily News reports 200 people showed up at a public hearing last week to protest the construction project, which would have involved rerouting a portion of the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail. Economic realities also played a role. Supporters of the plan were shocked on Wednesday when a representative with Alaska Airlines announced that 25 carriers oppose the new runway, calling it unnecessary and not affordable. Quote, "It will have a negative impact on the economic vitality of the airport and the state of Alaska," unquote. The name Ted Stevens and the idea of unnecessary and not affordable are no strangers. One example was a proposed bridge between Ketchikan, Alaska, and Gravina Island, where the borough's airport is located. Despite the limited number of people who would have been served by the $398 million bridge, Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, a Republican, went to the mat to support federal funding for it in 2005. He even threatened to quit Congress if a vote to divert the bridge's funding to Hurricane Katrina victims was passed. Well, the bridge became a rallying point for foes of pork barrel spending, and it was dubbed the Bridge to Nowhere by a Ketchikan resident in an interview with ABC News. That name stuck, and the bridge was never built. The FAA's handling of a recent change in departure procedures at Newark Liberty Airport is being blamed by air traffic controllers for confusion among pilots and potential safety risks. Historically, aircraft departing to the southwest have made a left turn after takeoff, but the new procedure allows controllers to instruct pilots to make a right turn instead, part of a new plan to reduce congestion at the airport. Ray Adams, VP of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, says confusion has led to several incidents in which pilots have turned the wrong way on departure. He cited three in the last month. FAA's Jim Peters can find record of only one. NATCA says one incident involved a pilot turning the wrong way, while the other two resulted from a controller in training confusing the flight numbers of two aircraft, sending them both in the wrong direction. Adams told WCBS-TV in New York, quote, "The pilots are being told one thing 30 minutes before departure, and then they get on the runway and were required to tell them another thing," unquote. He added the problem is made worse by, say it with me now, controller staffing. Of the FAA, he said, quote, "They don't send controllers, they send us trainees," unquote. Controllers at Newark have been pushing the FAA to publish the new procedure so that its chart is available to pilots in the cockpit for reference. FAA spokesman Peters said to the AP last week the FAA won't publish it until more work is done on the overall airspace redesign. A Saturday morning helicopter accident was reported from Southern California's Santa Catalina Island, 26 miles west of the Los Angeles coastline. A Eurocopter AS-350 operated by private tour company Island Express went down about 9:25 a.m. local time on the west end of the island, near the town of Two Harbors. Three people on board the helicopter were killed and three others were listed in critical condition after being airlifted to mainland hospitals. The Associated Press reports the helicopter went down near the Banning House Lodge, which overlooks Isthmus Cove, a popular boating spot. A witness at the lodge reported the chopper's engine appeared to quit. The crash caused a small fire that was quickly put out, according to authorities on the scene. Rainy weather was reported on the island at the time. According to the website for Island Express, the company provides charters and tours to the island and other Southern California destinations, along with movie and television work and servicing of offshore oil platforms. AP reports that in 1999, another Island Express sightseeing helicopter made a hard landing on the island, slightly injuring six tourists. Still ahead, NYPD now has an unmarked unit, overhead. Displaced tenants at Opa-locka Airport complain to the FAA. And check your radios before you try to fly over Israel. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, May 27th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Unmarked police cars have been around forever. New York City's unmarked police counterterrorism helicopter is brand new. The Associated Press reports NYPD recently introduced an advanced surveillance helicopter designed by Bell and its contractors for counterterrorism operations. The chopper features sophisticated surveillance and tracking equipment powerful enough to read license plates or scan pedestrians' faces from up to a mile and a half away. A robotic camera mounted on a turret on the nose of the aircraft has infrared night vision capability and a satellite navigation system that allows focusing on a location automatically just by typing in the address on a computer keyboard. Police can transmit the feed from the camera to command centers or wireless handheld devices, allowing police to see but avoid being seen. Some civil rights advocates are already expressing concerns. Donna Lieberman, executive director of the New York Civil Liberties Union, told AP, quote, From a privacy perspective, there's always a concern that New York's finest are spending millions of dollars to engage in peeping Tom activities, unquote. Police Crew Chief John Diaz counters, quote, "We don't invade the privacy of individuals. We only want to observe anything that's going on in public," unquote. The FAA has received a complaint from several businesses at Opa-locka Executive Airport in Florida, claiming economic discrimination by Miami-Dade County and its contracted developer for the airport. The county granted airport leasing rights for about 200 acres to AA Acquisitions, including the land occupied by the tenants filing the complaint. The tenants complaining have had only month-to-month agreements for years and apparently feel they should be locked in at lease rates they're used to paying the county. AA Acquisitions is insisting on what it calls fair market rates, as it prepares to invest $200 million to create Airside International Business Park at Opa-locka, with new hangars, office, industrial and retail structures, and a hotel and parking. AA says it has made reasonable attempts to work with the tenants as the city and county made plans to improve the underused airport and bring it into the 21st century. Michael Pizzi, an attorney representing the tenants, sees things differently, claiming his tenants are being, quote, "thrown under the bus and thrown on the street like dogs," unquote. The county says it has provided ample access to the existing tenants to participate in the new development of Opa-locka Airport. The FAA says it's still looking over the complaint. Israel doesn't mess around with security, and if you're going to fly through Israeli airspace, you better have working radios. Just ask former British Prime Minister Tony Blair. He was en route from the World Economic Forum summit in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, to an investment conference in Bethlehem when his private plane was intercepted by Israeli Air Force fighters last week. The Jerusalem Post reports the IAF fighters were following standard protocol. The fighters took up positions above the jet and were able to establish contact with the flight crew and identify the aircraft and its prominent passenger. An official reported that Blair's flight crew told the fighter crews that Blair's aircraft apparently had a technical malfunction and could not hear the Israeli air traffic controller's calls. Israel requires all planes entering its airspace to provide an identification code to guard against possible attacks. And finally today, a personal story. When I got the letter in the mail, I thought it was a scam. The folks at Bowen & Associates in Lewisville, Texas, were writing to inform me that because I had ignored previous invoices seeking payment of my balance of $152, my account with Miracle Strip Aviation at the Destin, Florida airport had been referred to them for collection. Quote, "It is our intent to pursue collection of this debt through every means available to us. We extend this opportunity to settle this debt in a friendly manner. You may either pay this debt in full to my office, or you must call at once," unquote. Excuse me? I don't have an account with Miracle Strip Aviation, and I've never been to the Destin airport. While I have taken a few manufacturers' demo flights in Florida in the course of reporting work, I've never refueled an aircraft anywhere in the state. I've never seen an invoice from Miracle Strip Aviation. If you've ever had something like this happen to you, you know how your mind races through the possibilities. There was an Embry-Riddle student once with a name similar to mine. He didn't pay his bills in Florida back in the early 1990s, and that started a bunch of erroneous collection calls coming to me. Was he back? Did an Aero News corporate expense somehow wind up under my name? Was I the victim of identity theft? Was the envelope postmarked in Nigeria? Well, actually, it turns out it may have been dyslexia or poor penmanship that was to blame. The folks at Miracle Strip told ANN they'd serviced a Piper airplane with a tail number of N954P in April of 2007 and never been paid. Apparently, they looked up my N number somewhere that listed an old address, so I never got their invoices. They also missed a big detail. N954 Papa is mine, all right, but it looks nothing like anything built by Piper. It's a Sportcopter Vortex gyroplane that's still under construction. There's not much they could have sold me for it except for fuel. And with a total capacity of 9 U.S. gallons, there's no way my aircraft could take on $152 worth of avgas, even at Miracle Strip's current rate of $6.94 a gallon. That is, if my aircraft was even built yet. The guy at the collection agency, who got my correct address from the FAA database, said a lineman wearing gloves probably wrote down the number illegibly. Vicky and the other folks at Miracle Strip were very nice when I called them, and they got the whole thing straightened out. And I'm starting to calm down now. But at the same time, a chilling thought has come to mind. What if this same FBO lineman, instead of recording the wrong end number only in the records at the FBO, had decided to try to go for the 10% reward from the Florida Department of Revenue for turning in a visiting out-of-state aircraft owner? I could have received a surprise bill for 6% of the value of an aircraft, much more expensive than the one I actually own, for a trip I never made. And I doubt there would have been much interest from the other end in getting things straightened out. Just a heads up to any FBO lineman in the Sunshine State, as long as the Florida tax trap remains on the books, my aircraft won't be on your ramp. One surprise from Florida is enough for me. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear Jim Campbell's interviews from the Aircraft Electronics Association's 2008 annual convention with AEA President Paula Dirks and Aspen Avionics VP Doug King. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.